Okay, so we're still trying to learn of Tzadok, the Pri Tzadok. Tzadok Kohen of Lublin. Secher Tzadok HaKadosh L'Racha. And I want the shir today to be L'Rafua Shlema for a few individuals. Alachas Kam V'Kama, today's topic, which is about tefillah and the importance of davening for others. So it would be chaval not to use it as an opportunity to try to rally zchus for those who need Rafua Shlema. So I want to dedicate this year, and you can throw out some more names, anyone who wants to add some names. Rafua Shlema for Moshe Menachem Ben Devora, Chaim Yitzchak Yaakov and Bat Yosara, Moshe Yehuda Aryeh Ben Miriam, nice guy from Lakewood, I just met in the hospital, Yishav Rafua Shlema. Yosef Chaim Halivi Ben Hensha, Chai Gitofega Bas Bela Bluma, Chana Bela Frat Bas Elka, Shoshana Bas Leia, Ariel Yair Ben Yehudis Ruvena. Ruvena, you don't know a name Ruvena? It's a good name. Ruvena. Hey, any other names? No, 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 other name? Okay, Besoch Shachol Yisrael. So Shachol Yisrael. The Rishner famously said that Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, they bring this from Rav Simcha Bunim also, Chodesh Mar Cheshvan is Milashon Merachshin Tzifase. Merachshin Tzifase is the Gemara uses in at least one place, the Lashon Merachshin Tzifase, that the lips are still moving, that the lips are still chattering. Which means that after everything that we worked on in Chodesh Tishrei, with our shofar and our kittel and our lulav and our esrog and our sukkah, we put aside all of the maisei mitzvos, and yet merachshin tzifase, the lips are still chattering. What does it mean? It means all the tefillos of Tishrei are still hopefully lingering on our lips. And Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, which is the time where we don't have outward mitzvos like we do in Tishrei, we have the regular mitzvos obviously that accompany us all year round, but we don't have any special yom tovim that are accompanied by mitzvos, but our lips are still moving. That hopefully all of the tefillos and all of the slichos and all of the non-stop davening that we spent Elul and Tishrei working on, hopefully it's still, some of that is mar cheshvan, merachshin tzifase, the lips are still moving. We're still trying to hold on to those tefillos. And in this week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, we learn really about the essence of tefillah. The first tefillah that's recorded in the Torah, the first time we find someone in the Torah really davening, is what we find in this week's parsha. So Rav Tzadok, as he does in several places in the Pri Tzadok, maybe more than that, several that I know of, in Osei, he asks a very interesting question. He says, if you look at the Midrashim, sometimes the way that Chazal present the Midrash on the Parsha, so sometimes Midrash is a running commentary on the Parsha. It quotes a Pasuk and it explains the Pasuk, or gives a Midrash elaborating on that Pasuk, very much like Rashi did when he was taking from these Midrashim to write his commentary. But sometimes the Midrash seems to have these strange tangents, sometimes of a halachic nature. Like for example, says Rav Tzadok, on page number one, Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash that begins this week's Parsha, and the Medrash Tanchuma, how does it begin? Reish Parsha Zo, Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu. There was a series of Midrashim apparently at one point called Medrash Yelamdeinu, and scattered throughout the Medrash Tanchuma we have pieces of it. I think that's how they don't really explain it. So Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, the Medrash poses a question. Teach us our Rebbe. How many brachos should a person daven every day? Of course, we know the answer is 18 brachos. So the Medrash says, so why do we daven 18 brachos a day? And the Medrash gives five answers. Maybe it corresponds to the bones in the spine, the vertebrae. Maybe it corresponds to the number of 18 prakim of Tehillim before you get to Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzerah. Maybe it corresponds to this, maybe it corresponds to that. Why do we do 24 brachos on a fast day? Maybe it corresponds to this, maybe it corresponds to that. The Medrash has a whole arichos about tefillah. So says Rav Tzadok, V'herich b'zeh. The Medrash has an arichos. U'lechore ein lo shum sheichos l'parsha zo. Rak v'shesayim teidu shekol derachav chesed. What is tefillah? Why is the Medrash raising this question in a long arichos about tefillah? The end of the Medrash, I see what it has to do with the parsha. The Medrash finally ends off and says, from here you see that Hashem operates with great chesed. At the beginning of the Torah, he did chesed by providing the kala. When Adam and Chava got married, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the kala to make sure she looked nice for a wedding. And at the end of the Torah, Hashem did chesed, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the middle of the Torah, Parshas Vayera, V'emtza Yisa, that's the middle of the Torah, four parshios into the Torah, okay. V'emtza Yisa says the Medrash, Bikur HaSachol, Hashem visited the sick. That's our parsha. So that I understand why it's in the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Vayera. But what's the kesher to tefillah? Right? So that says of Sadduk, Gezein lo kishor l'inyan tefillah. What does tefillah have to do with anything? And how does this Medrash find its way into the Midrashim of Parshas Vayera? So says Rav Tzadok, Acha'inyan, where it's underlined. Acha'inyan sheba parsha zo matzanu tefila rishonu shespala Avraham Avinu olav ha'shalom al sto. In this parsha we find the first tefila, and it's dafka a tefila for others, the prat davening for the wicked city of Sto. Shedoros harishonim lo yadu klal inyan tefila shespala adam lishno segzer. Because prior to Avram, no one thought, we'll see why, but no one ever even assumed, maybe for good reasons, maybe for not very good reasons, no one assumed that it's possible for a human being of flesh and blood to daven, to overturn a decree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made. Who would think that if Hashem says, I'm going to destroy Sodom, that you're going to go and you're going to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe there's 50 tzaddikim, maybe there's 45 tzaddikim, maybe there's 40, 30, 20, 10. Who are you to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The earlier generations never entered their mind to daven, let alone daven for someone else, that my tefillah can help someone else. How does that even work? Noach for example, we talk about the Doros HaRishonim who failed in this regard. Noach stands out, unfortunately, as a failure. We'll be melamed tchus on him in a few moments, but for the most part we view Noach as a failure. Noach had the opportunity to daven, and we don't find that Noach davened to overturn the Gezerah. And yet Avram, when he was informed about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to do to Sodom, immediately he davened. Avram, who didn't even think to daven for himself. By Yitzchak it says, Vayatar Yitzchak. As tefillah unfolded through generations, people understood different ways and different mechanisms that could be used in trying to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Avram, the beginning, the origins of tefillah, that's the amazing chiddush that Rav Tzadok is emphasizing here, that the first time we encounter tefillah is dafka tefillah for somebody else. Va'afta Amar, even though Avram said in last week's parsha, Heili lo nasata zara, Avram does seem to say to Hashem, but you didn't give me children, as if to say, I'm davening, give me children. Ahu la begins alusahav. That's not in the context of tefillah. And again, as time goes on, we see different people coming and tapping into different aspects of tefillah. Avos was from metakin tefillah. Avos was metakin shachris. Yitzchak was metakin mincha. Yaakov was metakin ma'ariv, as the Gemara says. Rishonim, Yachonim deal with the question: why wasn't Avos metakin ma'ariv? I mean, seeing ma'ariv is the start of the day. Okay, that goes into the question of how the day functioned maybe in the time period of Yavos. Not really for now. But again, you see this contrast, as we've said, between Avram and Noach. Avram, the wicked city of Sodom, immediately steps up to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to Noach, who shied away from petitioning and demanding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why would that be? So there's a famous Kedusha lady that I heard. I remember when I was in Yeshiva, probably around your age, this Yeshiva. I remember I was at a parsha shir from Rabbi Simon, and that was the first time I heard this Kedusha lady. What was it that stopped Noah for davening? Why didn't he daven? So Kedusha Levi says, someone who described this as a tzaddik and a talmid would think that Noah would maybe think to daven for the world. V'Noach on page 2 says Kedusha Levi, says the Berditchover. V'Noach agam shay tzaddik gadol v'talmid hayakotem ve'ed amod. Noah had a self-esteem problem, or maybe Latov, he was very humble. The Gemara in several places in Shas talks about a tzaddik who's on the madriga to move out to the gezer, the Gemara in Moed Katan, and elsewhere, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a gezer, and a tzaddik comes along and says, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I disagree, I'm going to be move out to the gezer. But it's a certain madriga of tzidkus that a person needs to have to think that he's going to be the one to step up and overturn a Kadosh Baruch Hu's gezer. Noach never, in a million years, dreamed that he was on the madriga. Adram, hayachashav ve'enav kashar ador. Noach didn't see himself as any more special than anyone else from the generation. And therefore, what did Noach think? Vayachoshev im ani yad nitzel b'teva. If I'm going to be saved in the teva, even though I'm not so special, v'ani ein tzadik yoser mishar ador. Now again, you have to figure out how does this fit in with the fact that Noach is rebuking the generation. And Noach is clearly not involved in some of the lowliness of the generation. But in his humility, in his naivete, Noach thought, why am I any better than anyone else? So if I'm going to be saved, hey, magam ki yinsalu. Mistama, they're also going to be saved. Lachein lo'ay mispal al-ador. And therefore Noach felt, who am I to daven for the generation? He says, that's the pshat in Rashi. When Rashi says that Noach was forced into the teva because Noach was mikatane amona haya, what does it mean? He was one of small faith. What's a lomar? Noach hayakotan ve'ino ve'emuna shu tzadik tamim sheyachol levatel gezeira. He didn't think very much of himself. He didn't believe that he had the koch to be mevatel the gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalayachoshu be'ine atzmo klo. Because he saw himself as completely insignificant in his own eyes. The Tiferet Shlomo Badams, if you turn to page 3, has a similar approach to Vardintur, but he adds a few nekudos that I think are worth seeing inside. He starts also with this Rashi. Noach Mikatane Amana is one who lacks faith. Again, it sounds like Noach himself didn't believe the Mabul was coming. So all the tzaddikim are saying, no, it's not like that. Noach's lack of faith wasn't he didn't believe that Hashem was really going to do it. And if he believed that Hashem wasn't going to do it, it's not because he didn't think Hashem had the power to do it. It's that he didn't believe in himself. Right? He had a lack of faith in himself, or he didn't believe that Hashem really would want to destroy people, that the people themselves are worthwhile to be saved. It's not that he didn't believe in Hashem's koach to destroy the world. L'chor yipel alomar. So he says, again, it's very hard to understand. Hashem is speaking to Noach time and time again. So what? Noach doesn't believe that there's going to be a flood? That can't be the pshat in Rashi. Noach's lack of emunah is that he didn't believe there's going to be a flood. How can you describe Noach as one of little faith? He's critical of Noach. Again, he's not trying to protect Noach. Noach made a great error. In what sense? Shalom ispal al ador. He could have saved him from destruction, perhaps. He could have overturned the gezeirah. So he's critical of Noach. Why didn't Noach daven? Again, it's like the Berditchever said. Page 4, Hashem Yisparach. It never entered his mind that Hashem would want me to daven. Who am I, simple Noach, to step up and try to defend the entire world, a guilty world? If God makes a decree, us as human beings are expected to fall into line and say, okay, Hashem, you and all of your knowledge knows what's best for the world. You know what's best for any individual. And therefore, who am I to try to overturn that gezeirah? And he had a very firm svar. Noah said to himself, it's chutzpah, it's very disrespectful to come to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, I disagree with you. I think it's a bad idea. A Kadosh Baruch Hu will say back to Noah, who are you to confront me, to challenge me, to mevatel the gezeira? It's against the Ratzon Hashem to speak in that way. The reality, of course, is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants people to try to melam mischus, and Hashem wants people to daven, and Hashem wants people to fight him to overturn the gezeirah. This is exactly what Hashem desires. And he brings examples. As Avram says in this week's parasha, chalila lecham yasos kadavar hazeh. He immediately comes to the defensive stone. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how could he destroy? There must be more innocent people, and maybe it's worth saving the city bischus the innocent people. Another great Jewish leader steps up. Lama Yomer Mitzrayim. What's going to be? You're going to destroy Klal Yisrael. And what? What's the reaction of the world going to be? It's going to be a great Chilul Hashem. Now look what he says here. This is beautiful. We know the famous Medrash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, B'tchila Ola B'machshavo L'varo B'midas Hadin V'shosvo Midas Harachim L'midas Hadin. Right, a strange Medrash. One of these concepts that are hard to understand. Hashem changing his mind. Hashem created the world with Midas Adin. And then Hashem said, you know what, that's not going to work. Let me add Midas Harachim. What does it mean Hashem, so to speak, changed his mind and then added Midas Harachim? HaKavana b'zeh derech she'amru. Ki tzadik nikra shutaf b'maisa b'reishis. When it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to what? V'shotfo Midas Harachim. To partner Midas Harachim with his original plan of Midas Adin. That partner is not Hashem deciding to partner these two concepts of Midas Adin and Midas Harachim. The partnership comes about through Hashem's partner. Who's Hashem's partner? Who is Kaviyachal, the partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A tzaddik is Hashem's partner. Where do we see that a tzaddik is Hashem's partner? Kemo hadon din emes la'miso ki ila nasa shutaf fekiyotze b'zeh. Like it says in the Gemara in Megillah, for example, a person who judges properly, he becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis. So a person who acts with tzidkus is Hashem's partner. So says the Radomsker, Batamu ki tzadikim mekayimin es ha'olam, ki heim orim rachim mechasadim tamil levatel kol gzeros kashos, uvezeu shutav my separations. That midas harachimim that existed from the beginning of time was a Kadosh Baruch Hu looking to the tzadikim to convince him to do otherwise. Again, we're still left with the grand question of what does that mean? Hashem didn't know, so to speak. But whatever it is, it's part of Hashem's plan. That a tzaddik, who's the embodiment of Midas HaRachamim, can help HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol change his mind. V'zeh kavanas habriya mitchila. Kasher b'chol ma'is habrishis lo nizkar rak shem elokim. It's so beautiful. You look at the beginning of the Torah, and it's over and over. It's what? What name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears? Bereishis bara elokim. And throughout the beginning part of Bereishis elokim, what happens? Rak acher shenamar bihi baram. Once it says bihi baram, which Chazal darshan osios ba'avraham. Once there's even a remez to a tzaddik on the madrig of Avram, someone who's going to daven for a storm, someone who's going to be looking out for the world, not like the noachs of the world. The second there's a remez to Avram, what does it say immediately after that? Miyad nemer b'yom asos Hashem Elokim. Right? It immediately switches from Elokim to Midas Hashem Elokim, Midas Harachim Imo. Kikein al tzaddikim shem avay al paneim tamid. Because the tzaddik is the one who arouses that midas harachim, the midah of yudkei vavkei. Ru'u kol basar yachtav ki Hashem Hashem dafka yudkei vavkei nikra alecha. And that's what it means. Shatvo midas harachim. Kadosh Baruch Hu partnered midas harachim. Heim atzadikim ha'om de beperes lahashiv chamaso me'ashchis ha'olam. The one who stands in the gap, so to speak, to bridge those gaps between Hashem and his world, to allow the world to continue to exist and not be destroyed. And that's what it means. Noach mikatane amana haya. Noach didn't believe that his tefillah could work. Now we have to be malamid tzchus on Noach. Of course, in the deepest sense, the Arizal, many Svarim HaKadoshim, following after the Arizal, talk about Moshe as a tikkun for Noach. That Moshe dafka davening to defend Klal Yisrael by Chedei Egel is a tikkun for Noach. Noach, in fact, is reincarnated. It comes back in the form of a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even before that, there was Shais, was perhaps that neshama in the earliest sense. Shais, Noach, and then Moshe all shared a neshama according to the Arizal. And the Svarim say that when Moshe davens Machaini Nami Sifracha, he's willing to sacrifice everything for Klal Yisrael. So based on the Arizal, many develop it further. Machaini is the Osios Mei Noach. Machaini is Osios Mei Noach. Right? Like the Navi Yeshaya criticizes Noach, Pashup Shah. Noach's being criticized. The Mabul's your fault because you didn't daven. Like the Zohar says, you didn't daven for the generation. Again, maybe because of his humility, but the bottom line is he didn't daven for the generation. The Zohar is critical of Noach for that. And therefore, when Moshe says, Machaini, Osios Mei Noach, it's a tikkun. I even saw this week, I saw it for the first time, the Tzemach Tzadik from Vizhnitz says, Machaini Na, if you take the letters Machaini Na and rearrange them, it spells Mi Noach Ani. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, "Machaini na mi Noach ani." I'm from Noach. I am Noach, and I'm back to metaking this terrible thing. But the kashrus are magim. We know from Rashi, "Yesh darshan l'shvach, yesh darshan l'gnai." That's the life story of Noach. Sometimes he gets blamed for things, but we have to also "Yesh darshan l'shvach." So to darshan l'shvach, just to defend Noach a little bit, it's only fair. Again, the Berdichever is critical. The Tiferes Shlomo is critical. It seems to be based on the Zohar, which is critical that Noach didn't daven. But I'll show you an amazing pshat in Mei Noach that flips it on its head. The Kashrus Ter Magid in the Avodas Yisrael says, no, Mei Noach is not saying that the Mabul is Noach's fault. When we read in the Haftorah in Yeshaya Perek Nundalit, that Mei Noach, right, that this is your Mabul, it's your fault, Noach. It's not Noach's fault. What does it mean? The Kashrus Ter Magid says, why is it that Parshas Noach begins by telling us about Noach and his family? And then it goes into the Mabul. It tells the generation is so terrible and the world needs to be destroyed. Why do you have to introduce Noach and his family? Elo told us Noach. Why do you have to introduce that? Why is that the Hakdama, so to speak, to the Onesh that the world is going to receive? So he says like this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect in his knowledge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created a world that was utterly doomed to fail. The world can fail 99%, but the world has to be able to have a kiyum. So it's dafka because Noach and his righteous sons and those few individuals exist. Right? Or let's even just say just Noach. Yishar ach Noach. Whoever it was that saved the world, Noach and V'chulu, right? If not for their existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't bring them out. Because it can't be that the entire world is going to be destroyed. So if not for Noach's existence, there can't be a Mabul. Hashem can't comfortably punish 99% of the world unless he's got that 1% to be Mekayim in the world. So says the Kashrus Ter Magid by the first arrow on page 5. Lachein pasach ha-parsha azos b'Noach u'banav. Ki heim hayu ha-yisod la-onesh ha-reshah. Shemi bil ha-adam. Without Noach and his sons, there can't be an onesh. L'haysa b'afshari l'ha-achriv olamo. There can't be a destruction of the world. And therefore he continues, says, that's what the Navi Yishai is saying. When the Navi calls the Mabul Mei Noach, Nikru Amayim al Shem Noach, Kedrash Chazal, Ki Mei Noach Zos Li, says Kashrus Ter Magid by the second arrow, Nikru Amayim al Shem Noach, Kedrash Chazal, Ukedisa Bazar, Machla Shalis Baal al Bnei Doro. Again, Chazal, the Zohar already is critical of Noach. It's called his flood because he failed to daven. But says the Kashrus Ter Magid, I can't be a Kabbalah.
It can't be that Noach didn't daven. Ulechora kashal ha'amin ha'tzadik mo Noach sheyechdom milahatir la'Hashem ba'ad kol yoshvei tevel for 120 years. He was giving them mussar. How could it be that Noach, such a tzadik, didn't daven? 120 years, he's osek bebinyan ha'teva, and he's warning the people constantly. The mabul's coming. The mabul's coming. He didn't think to daven for them. Again, some tzaddikim say yes, he didn't daven for them. But the Kaddish Magus, I can't be sovel such a pshat. Can't be. Noach didn't think to daven. So he says, no, Noach did daven. So why is it called Mein Noach? Aval nuchalamra pidarchenu shelachen nikra shemo. It's called Mein Noach. Even shal yadot shal yedetzid kaso who nishar sheres baaretz because of his righteous remnant that he left in the world. Therefore, it allowed, so to speak, gave way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish the rest of the world because Hashem had the confidence, I can rebuild the world with Noach. So May Noach, it's the marvel that came about, that I was able to bring, says Hashem, because I had a Noach through which to rebuild the world. Again, a limud zchus on Noach, who the Torah itself describes as someone who was a tzaddik, someone who was a tamim. And the Kaddish Magid, I think it's important for us to see, despite the Zohar, and despite all the other tzaddikim who said Noach didn't daven, that was his failure, for whatever reason, for better or worse, he didn't daven. Kaddish Magid says, it's too hard for me to swallow such a pshat, and therefore I have to come with another way to be malamid zchus on Noach and say he did daven, and it's still called Mei Noach because Noach's righteousness allowed Hashem to destroy the rest of the world. So what was it about Avram? Getting back to now to our hero from this week's parsha. So what was it about Avram that Avram decided to daven for the world? How did Avram know to daven for the world? Why did he care so much? Again, alachas kam v'kam when we're dealing with stone. So I think, again, if we want to understand the yisod of what a Jew and the koch of tefillah really is and how a Jew looks at the world, again, it's incumbent upon us as Yidden, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chosen people, to have a sense of achrayus for the world at large. And again, for whatever reason, Noach didn't come to that realization. But Avram understood that it's important for a person to care about the world. Not just care about Jews, but start in the broader sense to care about the world. Rabbeinu Yonah writes on page 6 in Pirkei Avos in the third parak. At the famous Mishnah, Mispal v'shlomo shel malchus, Rechnina Skana Kohanim says, you should daven for the government, you should say, you should bear up for the government, you should daven for the welfare of society at large. Shel mali mora ishas rehe chayim b'lo. Because if not for the government, if not for police officers, if there wasn't a sense of din in the world, if there was no sense of a law, the world would be very hefker, it would be a very dangerous place. And we see sometimes when people riot and they overthrow the police, how crazy and how scary the world can be. So Baruch Hashem, as much as when a person gets pulled over and he gets a ticket and he's complaining and he's grumbling under his breath that, oh, it's so annoying, you know, the officer pulled me over. But if not for that police officer, right, the world would be a much scarier and more dangerous place. We have to have a karsa tov for the police officers and for the government and for the sense of the Medina, whatever Medina we live in, at large. So says Rabbeinu Yonah in his commentary at the bottom of the page, Zeh inyan ratzo lomar, sheyesh la'adam lispal al shalom kol ha'olam. A person has to want peace on earth, not just peace in his community, and to feel pain through the pain of others. And that's really the level that a tzaddik is supposed to be on. Noach failed, and Avram succeeded. David shalom. Not to only be self-centered and to daven for oneself, to daven that the world should be a safe place, that everyone should have what they need, and through the establishment and the proper functioning of government, the world is able to function properly. And that's what Bichanina Skana Kohanim is telling us in this Mishnah. A Jew has to have a sense of achrayus for the world at large. Iyov is another interesting character to look at. Iyov is a person who also, like Noach, failed in this regard. And I want to share with you the beautiful words of Rav Salavechik in his Kol Dodi Dofik, the Rav's treatise on Zionism, and why he felt that it was so important to respond to the opportunity of the establishment of Medina in Eretz Yisrael. But in the Kol Dodi Dofik, he has a section on Iyov. And he talks about Yisurim, and why Yisurim come to the world, and how a person is supposed to respond to Yisurim. And we find that Iyov becomes very self-absorbed in his Yisurim. He's totally focused on his Yisurim. And the Rav has such beautiful lashonos. They're hard words. It's not easy. I hope not to butcher it entirely. Let's just read a little bit inside on page 7. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Iyov, and this is the turning point for Iyov. The moment that he realizes that there's a world beyond himself is the moment that Iyov finds his personal salvation. Meaning when we daven for the world at large, and we say, what am I daven? I have to daven for the whole world, I have to care about these people I never met, they're not Jewish, I don't know them, I have nothing to do with them. Right? A person has to realize that's your ticket to your own personal salvation. The success of Klal Yisrael is very much connected to the success of a sense of achrayis to the tzibur. And certainly at the very least, the sense of achrayis to Klal Yisrael. And this will help us to understand, again, where Avram was coming from when he felt an achrayis to daven for the wicked city of Sodom. So says Rav Soloveitchik, this was a Kodesh Baruch Hu's response to you by the first arrow. Hanasata af pam tchina ba'ad ish zar mitoch ishtatfus b'tzaro. Have you ever thought, Eov, to daven for someone who's a foreign, who's strange to you, who's foreign to you, because of a sense of achrayis to feel his pain? Lo, have you not? Hateida Eov shatfila hinachlas aklal. Don't you understand that the essence of tefillah, and this is exactly Rav Soloveitchik's point, the first tefillah in the Torah is a tefillah for somebody else. Dafka for somebody else who doesn't deserve to be davened for. That's the essence of tefillah. Tefillah is nachlas aklal. Don't you get what tefillah is? Tefillah is an opportunity to attach yourself to others. Did you forget that Jewish prayer is always said in Lashon Rabbim? You're missing the whole essence of what tefillah is supposed to be. La'olam lishtav inish nafshe ba'adi tibur, to be a part of a tibur, to be connected to the tibur in a deep way. His kashrus ha'nefesh b'nefesh. Beautiful words from the Rav. Yislachtus levavu sa'ari. Lo yedate eich leshtamit from adbeya tefillah. Shenikfa al yedei ha'uma. You're totally detached from Jewish prayer, from the ways of our forefathers. L'chlol es asmucha marabim. U'leseis ba'ol hazulas. To feel a sense of nosei ba'olim chavero. Iyov. Im yesh es nafshach ledas as toras tikuna yisur. If you want to save yourself, Iyov, alech lahasig esora tefillah. You need to learn the secret of tefillah. The secret of tefillah is established by the founder of our nation, Avraham Avinu. Hamekareves es ha'ani al hazulas. To get out of that world of ani and to enter the world of someone else. L'shanim b'ficha as nuschasa mekoris hamishatefes as a prat b'chavayat haklal, to be connected to the communal experience and to not live in your own little world of suffering. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests you. It's dafka, the breaking point. The Rav explains in the bottom paragraph. You'll take a look at it inside. But the breaking point is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests Eov to see, is he going to daven for others? And the moment he gets that, Eov, all of a sudden, that's the turning point when he achieves his personal salvation. It's the moment that the person looks outward and stops looking inward and only focusing on the ani and moves into the realm of focusing on hazulas to focus on someone else. It could be someone you don't know. It could be someone you never met. And that's how tzaddikim act. Tzaddikim are able to attach themselves, nefesh b'nefesh, in the words of the Rav, in a deep way to someone they never met. Rav Volbi, in his writings on Chumash, and this week's parsha brings an amazing maisa. I'll just share with you outside for the sake of time. The Panovich Rav came to the Chavetz Chaim. It's on page 8. The Panovich Rav came to the Chavetz Chaim to meet with the Chavetz Chaim. And the Rav said, you need to wait a few moments. The Rav's busy with something. And he hears the Chavetz Chaim in the neighboring room crying. Amish crying and bechios no rocks. So the Panovich Rav goes back to everything and says, is everything okay? Because there's a color, there's something I could do to help the Rav, to help the Chavetz Chaim. He says, no, there was someone brought a name, there was a Yoledes, a woman who's struggling to give birth, and it was asked that the Chavetz Chaim should daven. And the Panovich Rav realized that the Chavetz Chaim didn't know this woman. He had no clue who she was. It wasn't his daughter, it wasn't a sibling, it wasn't a close relative. It was a Jew. It was a fellow Jewish woman who was struggling. And the Chavetz Chaim was able to connect with her in such a deep way that he was crying his eyes out and davening and petitioning Kadosh Baruch Hu as if it was, you know, his best friend in the world. A woman he bechlal didn't even know who she was. And the Panovich Rav was so taken by it, he said, I want to stay. If this is the way, it's the Chavetz Chaim, that he's able to attach himself so deeply to another Jew in such an intense way, with such an intense tefillah, for somebody who doesn't even know, I want to stay here and learn. And that's when the Panovich Rav decided to stay in the aura of the Chavetz Chaim and to try to learn from the ways of the Chavetz Chaim. This week was the Yard Seder of Nassim Tzvi Finkel. It's a Kadosh Levracha. It's three years now, right? The 11th of Mar Cheshvan, a couple days ago. So I saw in the article biography from Nassim Tzvi on page 118, amazing story. It says that one of his earliest chavrusas was someone named Avram Chesson. So it says this Rav Chesson one time was at a chas, and then he saw Rav Nassim Tzvi davening Marv, and he wanted to talk to Rav Nassim Tzvi about something. He was close with him, he had a keshe with him from the good old days. So he decided, I'm going to wait for Rav Nassim Tzvi to finish davening Shmoneh Esrei, and then I'll have a few moments to speak, hopefully, with the Rosh Yeshiva. And he saw Rav Nassan's feet was already up to Modin, was basically at the end of davening. So he figured, okay, it'll only be another minute and a half, 2 minutes until Rav Nassan's feet is ready. All of a sudden, he's standing there, 2 minutes go by, 4 minutes go by, 6 minutes go by, 8 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by. A really long time, Rav Nassan's feet is still standing there davening. So afterwards, he goes over to him and he says to him, he says, Rav Nassan's feet, he felt comfortable asking, Rav Nassan's feet, I noticed you were, you know, I was waiting like 15 minutes, you were up to Modin. Well, what took so long at the end of davening? So he said, people bring me names. People bring me names of Holden. And he says, I always try to insert those names right at the very end of my Shemona Esrei. And Rav Nassan Tzvi said to him, he says, sometimes saying those names, that list of names is so long that it takes me longer to say the entire list of names than it takes me to daven the entire Shemona Esrei. That to Rav Nassan Tzvi was more critical in a sense than his entire Shemona Esrei. And as Rav Chassin said, what was so amazing is that Rav Nassan Tzvi, he didn't write down the names. He didn't have he's standing there for 15 minutes reciting name after name after name of people from all over Klal Yisrael, people, his stomach he never met, people he didn't know, and yet he took the time to make that the essence of his tefillah. Because that is the essence of tefillah. That's what Avraham Avinu taught us. The essence of tefillah is the tefillah that a person davens for someone else. So we can see in a general sense maybe why Avraham davened for Stone. But we still have to ask in a more prati sense. But this is still Stone. This is not the Chofetz Chaim davening for Stama, some tzaddikas, some nice Jewish woman who's struggling in her childbirth. And this is not a lesson to be davening for fellow Jews who are sick. Right? And this is not davening for the world at large in a general sense, right? Which has good people and some not good people. But to davka, to fight for Sodom, when Avram knew, as we'll see, Avram knew very well what Sodom was, and he still felt to have to fight for Sodom. What was it? Why did Avram feel such a strong achrayus to daven for Sodom? And the truth is, I think, you can even say that this was, in a sense, against the Ratzon Hashem. We saw from Tiferes Shlomo that Noach was scared to daven because he thought, who am I to be about to l'gzeira? Avram's tefillah, lav dafka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that this was an appropriate thing for Avram to do. In the end, we learn from it. It was an azus to kedush of Avram. It was a holy chutzpah to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to call it Aveira Lishma, because I think maybe that's taking it too far. But if you look at Tosfos in Yomar, Chav Chesam Aleph, on page 9, Tosfos has an interesting discussion. It comes up with really Chav Chesam Aleph, in Mesechus Yomar, Vayashkin Avram Baboker. Tosfos appears at the bottom of Chav Chesam Aleph. Tosfos is talking about what we learned from the Pasuk Vayashkin Avram Baboker. Now, just to be clear, there's two Vayashkin Avram Babokers. There's Vayashkin Avram Baboker by the Akedah, and there's a Vayashkin Avram Baboker when he got up the morning after to see what had happened with his tefillahs for stone. And that's part of what Tosfos is working out, because the Gemara brings different limudim from those different Vayashkin Avram Baboker. But the bottom line is, Tosfos' basic question is, why didn't Avram go out at night to see what happened with stone? Seems to be what Tosfos is asking. Why did he wait till the morning? Why didn't he get up earlier to go see what was the stone? Was he scared to go out at night? Maybe he was scared to go out at night. There's a Gemara in Parak Gira Nashen Chulin that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go out Yechidi at night. Well, maybe Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin. So if he's a Shliach Mitzvah, what's he scared of? So says Tosfos in the last few words, just where it's bracketed off on page 9. So why was Avram scared to go out? For lo have nami Shliach Mitzvah. Who says Avram's a Shliach Mitzvah? He's a shliach mitzvah to go to the place to see what's with stone. He's so busy with stone. V'lo v'nami shliach mitzvah ki lo yachaf itz HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyisa ba'adam rinu tefillah. Who says that Hashem asked Avram to daven for stone? Hashem didn't want Avram to daven for stone, so Avram can't go out at night and assume that he's protected because I'm doing a mitzvah. So why did Avram feel this achrayus? Hashem didn't feel an achrayus for stone. Hashem didn't label Avram as a person who's osik in a mitzvah because he's going out for stone. Why did Avram feel such a strong kesher to stone? So Rabbi Yashav says an amazing thing. I heard this from Rabbi Neuberger. Rabbi Neuberger said, if anyone less than Rabbi Yashav said this, it would be hard to be makabe. Because really we're tapping into the psychology of Avram Avinu. We're really trying to tap into the emotional position of Avram Avinu in his relationship with stone. Rabbi Neuberger said anyone less than Rabbi Yashav couldn't really play Avram's psychiatrist or psychologist over here. But why did Avram feel so strong? The pashtus is that Avram should have been rejoicing when he was told that Sodom was going to be destroyed. Rabbi Yashav writes by the first arrow, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al kein omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hamachas ani mimenu ki etzem kiuma shel Sodom, ha'isa stira galui l'Avram avinu. How can I hide from Avram what I want to do to Sodom? After all, Avram would be the first person to Avram, I have great news. There's a city full of Rishon and I'm going to destroy them. And that's going to allow you to continue to spread your righteousness and the word of God throughout the world. So Avram should be jumping for joy. Hashem says, how can I hold back the good news from Avram that I'm going to destroy Sodom? Sodom, he says, is a stira galuya la Avram Avinu. Everything Avram stands for The antithesis of that is what's found in stone. Ki kamuvan chitas avram v'terasso haisa she'ein l'sheker v'glai. Stone was a city of falsehood. It was a corrupted city. In every sense, Avram should have been jumping for joy. Says Rabbi Yashua, where it's underlined by the first paragraph. The Avram kasher yishma me'achlata zo. When Avram heard Hashem's decision to destroy Sodom, lahashchas Sodom lechora hu halo yismach liba. He should have been so excited, and yet Avram does just the opposite. He's doing everything he can to save Sodom. Why? Says Rabbi Yashua by the second arrow. Ulam lo kein haya. Ela Avram Avinu omid v'tfila. Koreisha chachim chalil lacha shofikalas. Hashem, please give Sodom a little more time. Why did Avram feel so strongly connected to stone? Because Avram felt ulai lo asa kedabai l'takin esanche stone. Avram felt personally guilty, says Rav Yashuv, because of what was happening in stone. Why would Avram feel personally guilty? What's happening in stone? Ubeprat achrei shematzer es hanefesh lahem hikalibo osam. You know why Avram had this feeling of guilt? Again, Rabbi Yashua is saying, Avram felt guilty. Avram felt personally responsible for stone. Maybe another wicked city, Avram said, good, destroy it. But Avram felt, I have an achrayus to do something for stone. Why? Because what was the pasuk in last week's parasha? What happened? The four kings defeated the five kings, and Lo was kidnapped, and Avram goes and he fights, and he gets back Lo, and he gets all the rechush, and he gets a bunch of people. And what does the king of Sodom say to him? I wrote it down at the bottom of the page for you. The king of Sodom says, give me back the people. You take the possessions. I don't want your possessions. I don't want you to say that you made Avram rich. I'm just going to take for whatever the people who helped me fight this battle. Right? But Avram basically handed over the people back to Sodom. Had Avram kept these nefashos, had he held on to them, he could have educated them. Avram feels, I sent these people to Sodom. I sent them to this wicked city. And it's my fault that they became educated in the educational system that was the fabric of Sodom. And therefore Avram felt, I need to do something for Sodom. This is my fault. Two lines from the bottom. Avram avinu hayachoshesh ulai lo nasa kedabai lachzirum lemuta. Vim came hifzir sheyichaku od zman ma ulai yeshuv midarko. Avram felt, give them a little more time. I have to at least try to give them a chance. Because he felt personally guilty for the people of Sodom. He had a personal attachment to the city of Sodom. Very, very interesting pshat from Rav Yashuv. But I think if we want to approach it more broadly, I think the pashat pshat is that Avram Avinu, being the tzaddik he was, I think this is what tzaddik is trying to drive home, is that the tefillah for the tzibur, tefillah for the world, tefillah for Rishon is a critical part of tefillah. To daven even for Rishon. But Mendel Zaks was a son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, who was married to the Chafetz Chaim's daughter from his second marriage. Chafetz Chaim had six children. He had, I think, four from the first marriage and two from the second. So his daughter from the second marriage, I think her name was Vega Chaya, so was married to Mendel Zaks, who had a kesher to this yeshiva. So he writes, they put out, maybe a couple of years ago, Chidush Erev Mendel, Shas and Anchumish, a two-volume set, very, very interesting. It's actually an interesting story of Shechter, quoted in the Sefer. A very interesting story about why Rav Mendel Zaks didn't come to YU. A whole interesting din v'dvarim for another time. But he writes in this week's Parsha, I saw about half a year ago, so he writes, Vayigash Avram Vayomer Haftis Bet Tzadik in Rosh. He says, Pasha, he's not saying a major chiddush here, but he says, this is the Ikar Lima that we have to think from Avram Avinu. Bevada Yada Avram Maaseyim Aram Sho'anche Sodom. Don't think that Avram didn't know what was going on in Sodom. He knew what was going on. It wasn't in his ignorance and in his simplicity that Avram said, maybe there's good things happening. Avram knew what was going on in Sodom full well. Shailo Rachuch Meham Hayadar. He lived nearby to Sodom. We can assume that he knew what was happening in the city. It was not some distant city I'd never heard of. And Hashem told him, the situation in Sodom is very grave. He wanted to save the entire city of Sodom. Bizchus those 10 tzaddikim. Bizchus those 20 tzaddikim. Whatever he could find. V'zeu limud God, says Rav Mendel Zaks. What's the ikar limud here? Pasha. V'zeu limud gadu l'mufla. Ad l'ma'od. Shemechuyavin l'ispal ba'ad ha'tzolos v'sham gamim. A person has to develop an attitude where I daven for even for Hashem. Now it's not pasha. It's not pasha from a strict halachic sense that we always daven for Hashem. That's why he ends his words. V'yish b'zeh kama ha'gdaros gedolos. The Chazal and the Gemara and Sanhedrin and elsewhere talk about the attitude that one would have towards the people of Sodom. One should have towards the people of Sodom. There are certain people in the category of Moridin v'lo Ma'ale, that we let them descend to the pits and we don't save them. We don't reach out to them. We're happy to let them die. We just let them go. And yet, there's a time and a place to daven for a shah. Rav Volbi actually says, in his, at the beginning of this week's parsha, in his writings on Chumash, he says there's two main points in this week's parsha. The two main things you learn from this week's parsha is the greatness of Achnasas Orachim, and the second thing you learn is the importance of davening for a shah. Again, it's not a simple sugya, but Rav Volbi feels, of all the things in this week's parsha, and there's a lot, it's a juicy part, it's a long parsha, it's a juicy parsha, a lot of lessons. Rav Volbi feels the two most important lessons in this week's parsha are Achnasas Orachim and davening for a shah. To have a sense of achrayus in the tzibur. And Rav Volbi in the Ali Shur actually writes an amazing story, but he prefaces it with the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Vav. On page 12, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Rebbe Meir says, "V'shosh she'odem mitzdar." When a person feels pain, shechina ma'alashon ameres. What does the shechina have to say about that? Kalani miroshi, kalani mizroi. The shechina is pained. Imkein hamakum mitzdar al daman shel risham shenishpach kavachomer al daman shel tzadikim. If the shechina feels the pain of the death of risham, all the more so tzadikim. That's an astounding chazal. That Hashem is bothered by the death of Hashem? Is that true? It says Rav Volbi, where it's underlined, Hashchina atzma so velis, im kol mitzdar shaba'ol. That's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. That means you can have a person who has nothing to do with Torah and mitzvos, you can have a person who's anti-Torah and mitzvos, and that person's going through a personal difficulty. They caught Ebola, Rahman al-Islam, and they're suffering. So instead of Hashem saying, good, Yimach Shemo v'zichro, Shem Risham Yirka, let them rot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels pain. Imo Anochi Bitzar. Hashem feels the pain of any human being that's going through pain. And I'm not exaggerating, the Rav Volbi says, Im Tzadikim Rasha. Whether it's a righteous person or whether it's a Rasha. Al Tzar Gadol Al Tzar Katan. V'yamashchina kach, Adam lo yad nosibo. And if you have Mefurish Gemara, the Shechina is in so much pain. So how could you? Look at someone say, hey, it's a Rasha anyways. So why do I have to feel a sense of achrayus? Continues Rav Volbi by the second arrow. As a tzaddik v'sarasha makifa midazu. Ha tzaddik sovel anu nosimito. Ha rasha sovel anu nosimito. We help whoever it is. Ha rasha chote, the rasha sins. So what do? We stand in the corner and we mock him. Anu nosimito umisbonu b'achriso kimari. We feel bad for him that he's a rasha. We feel bad that he's going to burn in hell. He's going to suffer for a long time in order to come to a state of tikkun. We feel bad. We feel sad for this individual. Right, that he has to go through this terrible thing. Look what he says. What a great mistake people make to discredit people and just say Yemach Shemo v'zichro. Umano alu ha'anashim ha'medamim b'nafshim ki yasa rasha yechol madon b'kalos l'mechia shemo v'achman al-tzal. How foolish it is that anyone who holds a different shita than you hold or a different hashkafa than you have, so we immediately say Yemach Shemo. Yemach Shemo v'zichro. Rav Volbi says, what a terrible thing to say. Ein zos ki im shene'ala me'amon am ma'ayom hu. We don't realize what a terrible thing it is for a person to have their name erased. Yeah, say good around me. So it's a good question. Right? So how far does this go? We feel bad for Hitler or Yimach Shemo? Right? Amalek has to be destroyed. Right? So where do we draw the line? It's a good question. It's the obvious question. I'm glad you raised it. Right? There has to be a point where we can say this person's a Russian Marusha Yimach Shemo v'zichro. Shem Rasham Yirkov. Chazal used that expression. It's not, it's a pasuk, but it's certainly, there is a point where we do say that. Where we say that someone's, you know, but osei maisa amcha is no longer part of the am, and at this point you're permitted to speak lashon hara about it. Right? There's halachos that affect these things. But it's a good question. It's hard to know where that is, but there has to be a sense of achrayus even for a shah, right? And that's the point. That it's not you're a rasha, and therefore I feel no sense of achrayus, but a clap and Sodom is going to be destroyed. Putting aside whether Avram had a personal kesher to Sodom, like Rav Eliyashiv said. But just b'derech klal, to say that Avram felt a sense of achrayus to someone who was very different than him, to a city that was filled with Risham, that maybe there's hope for such people. Maybe the situation can change. And Rav Volbi tells another maisa. He tells a maisa that Rav Yerucham shared, that he heard from Rav Yerucham, about the Saba Kedisha of Kel, Rav Simcha Zisel of Kel. Rav Simcha Zisel, apparently, looked totally different on Shabbos than he looked during the week. He said about a lot of tzaddikim that the or that right the hadras panim of the tzaddik and Shabbos was mamash a different person. They said there was one Shabbos where Rav Simcha Zisel totally looked chol. He looked regular. He looked depressed. He looked very very upset about something. And after Havdalah on that Motzei Shabbos, Rav Simcha Zisel let out a cry, and he said, "Oi, Peret Smolenskin died. And we need to feel sad." Who was Peret Smolenskin? Peret Smolenskin was a maskil who who studied in yeshivas when he was younger. He went on, he got drawn into the movement of Haskalah. He was someone who was anti-Torah. He wrote books that were anti-Torah. He was not a person who had any shaychus to Torah and mitzvos. And yet, Yosef Chazitza was depressed all Shabbos because he heard that the great maskil and the great author, Peretz Smolensky, had died. So they said to him, Yosef Chazitza, what are you? He's a Rasha. He's anti-Torah. He says, yeah, but we have to feel bad for him. Think about how much he's going to suffer in Ghana. I feel bad for him. He was still a Jew. He's still suffering. And it pains the Shechina that a person that suffers, it's painful that he has to go through such a thing. That doesn't mean I approve of his behavior, but I'm pained by another human being's pain. And therefore, I daven for him, and I feel for him, and I connect to him. Okay, let's go back to page one, just to wrap up. We have 5 minutes left. But we have to finish the piece from Preet Sadek. And we'll go to the second arrow, the left-hand column, because it's the second point. There's a second yisod in tefillah that we learned in this week's parsha, doctrine on the tefillah of Avinu. The first yisod is that we daven and we care for Hashem, and the essence of tefillah is davening for others. The second yisod is that sometimes we have tefillos that seem doomed to fail, and yet a person has to still continue to daven. But pasuk zeh v'yashkim avim b'boker l'makom asher amad sham. Let's just think for a second. When the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chavav is looking for the root of Tefillah, and it says Tefillah begins with Avram, who's Metaki and Shachris. And what's the source? Vayashkin Avram Boker. It's in the context of Avram's Tefillah for Stone. That's the source for Tefillah. A Tefillah that led to what? That led to nothing. That led to Stone being overturned. A Tefillah that was worthless, that failed. That's the Shorish of Tefillah. Right? And let's stop and think about that. The root of tefillah is a tefillah that was a complete and an utter failure. Hashem knew was going to fail. And I think you can say that Avram knew was going to fail. That's what the Mendel Zaxer said. Avram knew what was the Metzias in Sodom. He knew there were 10 tzaddikim in Sodom. But his tefillah did work. When did his tefillah work? How did his tefillah work? Through his tefillah, Lot was saved. And because Lot was saved, through that, David HaMelech, who himself is the shomer of tefillah, is redeemed. Dafka Adastom, the greatest Baal tefillah ever, emerges. David HaMelech, Allah Shalom, Shanamar Matzati, David Avdi, Pasuk in Tehillim says, I found my servant David. Medrash says, Heicha Matzasi, where was David found in Stom? The origins of David is Stom. The David HaMelech, Allah Shalom, Shores, Tefillah, Shanamar Va'ani Tefillah, the essence of tefillah. Avram's seemingly failed tefillah actually gives birth to such a great kalach of tefillah. His tefillah was not a failure. Vayishliach tzibur shel klal yisrael. David HaMelech emerges from that tefillah. And now we understand the question, which we forgot at this point. What was our seller's question? How do we begin the whole piece? Why does the Medrash Tanchum in this week's parasha begin with all these questions about tefillah? What does that have to do with anything? The parsha begins, the Medrash has a whole arichas about tefillah because that is the essence of this parsha. The essence of tefillah is that Avram davened for a city of Hashem, and he davened a tefillah that looked like it was going to fail, and out of that tefillah emerges the greatest kalach of tefillah, David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom. Along, Ratzal doesn't say it, but more than that, what's he saying? He's saying Mashiach comes from Avram's tefillah. If not for Avram's tefillah, for the greatest Hashem of all time, for a city that was utterly destroyed and overturned, there could be no Mashiach. There could be no David HaMelech. Unbelievable. And that's one of the hardest parts about tefillah. And that's one of the greatest chidushim of Avraham Avinu. That a Jew has to believe that tefillah actually does, that tefillah can work. Even a tefillah that looks doomed to fail. We don't have time to read it inside, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's a great story. Mechitzas Rabbeinu, it's a Feldheim Sefer from Rabbi Yaakov. So it says, he brings this maestro. When Aaron Cutler passed away, they took him to Eretz Yisrael to bury. And it was a time of a Tiras Keshamin. There was a shortage of rain in Eretz Yisrael. And some Zakin appeared at the funeral and said to Mamish to the Chevah, we're burying Rav Aaron. I have an old tradition. Some Zakin from Yerushalayim, whatever, appears. I have an old tradition, a Kabbalah, that if there's a Zman of a Tiras Keshamin, there's a shortage of rain, and a Tzaddik dies, and he's going to be buried, so you're supposed to take a wet rag, and you bury it with the tzaddik. And it's a school of rain. And they did it. They buried alongside Aaron Cutler this wet rag. What happened? The next night it poured. Mamish poured. So they came to Yaakov Kamenetsky and told him, they buried Aaron, they placed the wet rag, threw the wet rag into the dirt. And Mamish poured, cats and dogs the next night. And Yaakov said, I don't think that's a pshat. I don't think that's why it rained. Yaakov said, you know why it rained? He says, because what was that night? He says, that was the day that in Chutz La'aretz people started saying, the same Talamatar. So Rav Yaakov said what? Some wet rag, you think, is the answer to the rain of Eretz Yisrael. And all of the Bnei HaGola who are davening, the same Talu Matzah L'Racha, the whole truth is a Gola, what, that's worthless? That's nothing. That doesn't count. We sometimes look for this, you know, segula, this quick fix, something that's going to cause our tefillahs to actually work. But again, Rav Tzadok is emphasizing that the root of tefillah, and again, I won't have time to read it inside now, but Yisachar Dov Avels on page 14 says the same thing. He's the one who really he raises the question also. How could it be that the Gemara in Brachos looks to Avraham Avinu as the shorish of tefillah? It's a tefillah that wasn't poel anything. So says Rav Yisachar Dov Avels, that's exactly the point. The tefillah that you think is not poel anything, the tefillah that you think is worthless, it doesn't accomplish anything, to think that a tefillah doesn't do something, is a terrible, terrible mistake. A Jew has to live with a sense of belief that a tefillah, whether I'm feeling it or not, whether I'm deeply connected to that tefillah or not, my tefillah will eventually be poel, it'll do something. It'll create something good for Klal Yisrael. And I want to just end with a little piece of Likutei Moharan on page 15. Rav Nachman in Likutei Moharan, Tzadi Tes, one of the other greatest tefillahs that we assume was a total failure, Baschana L'Sham Ve'Isahi Lemur. Moshe Davins to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 515 tefillos, nothing comes of it. Says Rabbi Nachman, we learn an important Yisod in tefillah. Again, this is the legacy of Avraham Avinu's tefillah. Didei Adam Tzarech Lespal V'Dveikas Gadol Hashem Yisbarach. A person supposed to daven with great attachment. And we're supposed to be feeling it. And we're supposed to daven, and it's a person that we know, and we have a lot of kavanah, and we're concentrating, and we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dveikas, Rav Nachman explains elsewhere in this context, means a bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're totally there. It's the best one aspect of our life. We know it's going to work. But what about those times when I don't feel so connected? When it's stone, it's a bunch of Rishon, or someone I don't know, right? Or for whatever reason, I don't feel worthy of davening, like the Noachs, or the Eovs, who became self-absorbed, right? So do I daven in those situations? Do I continue to daven in such a situation? I'm not able to daven with Vekas. I'll yomer eini mispal klal. Don't say, what's the point? Why should I daven? I don't have kavana. I don't know how to daven with dveikus. I know my tefillah is not going to be answered. When he used to daven, they said to him, how do you know if your tefillah is good? If I daven well, I can tell. If it's a good tefillah, I know when I'm feeling connected. And I know when the tefillah is going to be rejected. So maybe a person will say, if it's not going to go, what's the point of davening? When I'm connected, when it's right on my lips, mikubelis. A person can never say, there's no hope, there's no point. A person has to always daven. If you can't daven with dveikas, daven with whatever energy, whatever strength you have. Because at a later point, when you finally get that tefillah, that's a home run, where you're totally attached and totally bottled to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the words are flowing so naturally from your heart and from your lips. Then all those tefillahs that failed, so to speak, will go up. The tefillahs that you thought were worthless will eventually get pushed up by that tefillah that comes from a deep place. And that's what it means. V'eschanan el Hashem tamid. V'eschanan el Hashem, a Jew has to supplicate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu always. Bein v'deikas, bein shalom v'deikas. And v'esahi lemor. At the time that it's lemor, when it flows beautifully from your lips, at that time, those tefillahs will go up. But if those tefillahs don't even exist in the world, because you shied away, you didn't feel worthy of the tefillah, or you felt that the recipient of the tefillah was not worth davening for, Chas v'shalom, you blow the opportunity. So Amir Tashem, we should all be Zocha. In the words of Yitav Panim, the Rebbe of Sigin, wrote the Yitav Lev on Chumash and the Yitav Panim on the Moad. So he writes by Parsha Zachar on the final page, Kamo kein b'shas avoda, gam b'tfila, chalil levarche yishtarche atzma. Like the Rav told us, the failure of Eov, one of the greatest values to him of all time, was a person who became self-absorbed. And the second he turned outward, he saved himself, and he saved his friends, and by extension, you go out to save the world. Like Rabbeinu Yonah taught us. Kim l'tzarcha klal kulo. Chas v'shalom, to become self-absorbed. Rather, a person has to daven for the klal. Like the tzaddikim explain, in the name of Eliyahu HaNavi, the statement in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Ein ben David ba achetich l'pruta min akis. Mashiach can't come to all the quarters are out of your wallet. Right? But what does it mean on a deeper level? Must the pshat put them in a kiss? Maybe it means the neshamos that are in the Shemayim have to be born. We have to have children. A lot of different explanations. But the Zedekim explained, he brings elsewhere in the Yit of Lev and Parshas Emor from his father, What does it mean, pruta min akis? Hapratius min akis shalev. That the heart, which is the place where the tefillah begins before it even emerges from the lips. Right? It has to be that kiss that holds the heart, like the Talmud Yerushalmi describes. The packaging of the heart. Right? You have to remove the pruta min akis, the pratius from the heart. To not become a self-absorbed person. To not be a person who thinks that tefillah is about davening for myself. But tefillah has to be turning out towards Klal Yisrael and to the whole world at large. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to see that day when Ben David will be zochet to come as we daven for the world and the world is rectified with the Gula Shleim of Amitas B'Mehar B'Yamin.